Well, good morning, church, and welcome to another podcast here from Lighthouse. Let's go ahead and open in prayer. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your word is sufficient for us, that it's encouraging, and where we can't quite understand it all, Lord, you cover that. So we thank you for that, Lord, and ask you to meet us here in today's study. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we reviewed Paul's encouragement regarding not only his suffering, but the suffering of Epaphroditus, and even Timothy to a lesser extent, in the fact that he and Timothy and Epaphroditus, they had served faithfully. And Paul's encouragement to the church was, yes, we're going to suffer as Christians. We're going to suffer in the service of our Lord and the service of the gospel. But rather than seeing that as something to be feared or shied away from, Paul was saying, no, there's blessing in that, right? There's blessing when he sees the fruit of his work in the gospel, especially as he's writing to these believers in Philippi, that encourages him and that strengthens him. And even in the distress that he felt for the sickness of Epaphroditus, at least he can see that it was for the ministry. And so this is no little thing with Paul. So today we pick up in chapter 3. Paul is beginning to close his letter. So we're right in the middle. His closing of the letter is almost as long as his introduction and main part. Paul's going to pack a lot into the closing here. And so even though he says here in verse 3:1, finally, my brothers, he's really going to go on to pack quite a bit in here. And we'll take a look at that here. We're going to read Philippians 3:1-11. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things for loss, for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is in, through faith, Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. So as he's winding down his letter, he's really bringing home some very important points for these believers in Philippi. He begins this with a warning for the believers in Philippi, and as with anything, there's always some controversy. So is in verse 3, is Paul warning them about three different types of people, or is it a combination when he says, beware of dogs? Some would say the tradition in the first century of Jewish people calling Gentile dogs, this is Paul kind of flipping that back around, because remember, he's talking to primarily Gentiles in Philippi here who have converted to Christianity. And then he goes on to say, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. And so we know that the mutilation is talking about the circumcision of the Jews. And in verse 3, Paul goes on to say that we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. So Paul's saying that the circumcision of God since Jesus has come, is in the Spirit. I think what he's talking about here is a general group of people that would come in and seek to destroy the work of the gospel. There is some credence, history in fact, the large majority of church history has suggested that what I just described here about Paul flipping the script on calling the Judaizers dogs is true. And I think that's really what he's getting at here is, remember, Paul was Jewish and so was Jesus. Jesus claimed to be the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Paul goes on in his letter here to talk about how great of a Jew he was. He is essentially saying, if it is about that, if it's about coming through Judaism to get to God, now that we have Christ, look at me. I mean, I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. I'm the tribe of Benjamin. I was this great leader, a Pharisee, as far as the religious Jews goes. But then he's saying he's traded all of that for Christ. And so when he's warning the believers in verse 2, he's warning them about really a type of person that would come against the church, the type of person that would come in and add to what Jesus has already done, rather than seeing Jesus as fulfilling those things that needed to be done. So they were getting it out of order. They were coming in afterwards and saying, you may believe in Jesus, but now you need to come in to Judaism. You need to be converted to Judaism and follow all of the rites. You need to follow all of the legal requirements, and you need to become circumcised. Then Jesus's shed blood for you becomes efficacious. And Paul is saying, nope, that's backwards, that's out of order. Beware of anyone that's going to come in and add these things to you, doing so, the dog reference, in a vicious way, in a way that puts burdens on people that they themselves aren't willing to carry. And so the encouragement here for us then is that it's Jesus as the fulfillment of Jewish law and the prophets that provides for all of us. That's what Paul is saying. It's for the Philippians. It's for the other Gentile believers. It's even for the Jewish believers. It's for all people. It isn't come to Jesus, put on all this religion, and then you're saved. No, it's put away that religion because Jesus has fulfilled everything that's required for us to be made right with God. Every law, every prophecy, every requirement has been fulfilled in Jesus. And so for us, that should be great news, which it is. That is the gospel. And I hope you're encouraged by that today. And I would encourage you to look at what religion you're trying to add to Jesus and set that aside. And so go about your day and be blessed in Jesus' name.